Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, What About Him? So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, God's presence is an open door. And there are things in our life that keep us from walking through it. This is a time in our worship every week where we have the opportunity to come before God and confess those things and leave knowing that we are in His presence now and always. So together, let us confess as it is printed in your bulletin. Holy God, we confess that we are slow to see you in our midst and even slower to respond to your calling. While we say that we believe, we confess that we want faith to be on our terms, not yours. As we look back over the days of our lives, we can see your guiding hand, yet we lack the faith to follow you into the future. Fill us with willing faith, O Lord, to trust in you and your word. Open our ears to hear your calling. Open our eyes to see your presence in our midst. Open our hearts to the indwelling of your Spirit. These and all things we pray through Christ Jesus, our risen and reigning Lord. In the spirit of Psalm 103, hear this assurance. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. All this is possible because of the good news of Easter Day that Jesus is alive. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us together affirm our faith, and if you would stand as we do that. We will be using a portion of the brief statement of faith from 1983. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, and blessing the children, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the first letter to the church in Corinth. We'll be reading from chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them in all of us. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by the one and same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at the 20th verse. If you've been with us, we have made our way through the Gospel of John since last December, and now we come to these closing verses. So let's continue to listen to God's word to us today. We read, "Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, 'Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, 'Lord, what about him?' And Jesus said to him, 'If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me.' So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but 'If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?' This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the privilege of worship, for your word written and now proclaimed, and we pray that as we sit beneath its teachings, that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, and this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever had the occasion of sitting together for an evening with family or friends, telling stories, some of them new, most of them old, well-worn, perhaps worn out, and yet spending the evening thoroughly enjoying them, and when it finally comes time for the evening to end, you make your way to the door, and there's still one more story that needs to be told, or maybe two more stories before you go home? This is kind of what's happening in the conclusion of John's gospel. At the end of chapter 20, he writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him may have life in his name." Now that sounds like the close of the book, right? But the last story of the evening is not, in fact, the last story. We discover that there are still other stories which need to be told, to be exact. Hence, we get a second ending to John's gospel, the 21st chapter, the so-called epilogue. I hope you were with us last week to hear Terry's message about Peter's encounter with the resurrected Lord. If you are not with us, I encourage you to watch it on our YouTube channel. In that conversation on the beach, over a breakfast which Jesus himself prepared for his disciples, this is one of the ways John is telling us the resurrected Lord is not a ghost. He is alive in the flesh. In that conversation, Peter is restored into a right relationship with the Lord through their threefold question and answer. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And the conversation then ends with Jesus telling Peter that the cost of his discipleship would end in martyrdom. Curiously, the word in Greek for martyr and for witness is exactly the same. To be a martyr is to be a witness. To be a witness is to be a martyr. And he then instructs and encourages Peter to hold fast to his faith by simply saying to him, "So follow me." What a powerful scene that is. But then, without hardly even giving us a moment to catch our breath, we pick up our lesson for today as Peter turns and sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. And who might that be? None other than John, the disciple who had leaned closest to Jesus at the Last Supper, the one who had asked Jesus, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" The one who ran faster on the Easter morning and made it first to the tomb, the one who was first to look in and see and believe. It was John, the beloved, John, the disciple par excellence. It was John, Peter's nemesis. And what was he doing? Following so closely, within earshot of their conversation? Was he being curious, supportive, envious, intrusive? We get a hint that it was something of the latter of these when Peter asked, "Lord, what about him?" Now, this is one of those statements in Scripture that I would love to hear how it was actually said. Probably the more gracious among us might hear him saying, "Oh Lord, here is my dear brother John. If I'm going to have to die for my faith, what about him?" Most of us would read it this way. "Now wait a minute, Lord. If I have to be martyred for my faith, if I'm going to have to pay the whole cost of discipleship, what about him?" A question born more of envy or jealousy than charitable concern, perhaps. You see, the rumor had begun being spread in the early church that John was not going to die before Jesus returned, which then begs the question, so which of the disciples is really the greater? Is it Peter, the presumed first among equals, the one on whom Jesus said he was going to build his church? Or is it John, the one who describes himself throughout his own gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved? I mean, Peter was told that he's going to die for his faith. And so he asks, so what about him? What an interesting story to put right at the end of the gospel, isn't it? But it must have been deemed necessary then and now because competition, even in the spiritual life, is a very real thing and can cause great damage in our relationship with the Lord, our relationships with one another, even our own souls. One of the most crippling and joy-sucking temptations in the Christian life is to compare ourselves to one another. "Oh, if only I could pray like she prays. If only I could serve like he serves. If only I could play like he plays or sing like she sings. If only I could encourage others like they encourage. Oh, if only I could have a marriage like their marriage. A family like their family, a home like their home, a car, you name it." The list goes on and on. And this is the issue that Paul addresses in his first letter to the Corinthians, where he reminds them and reminds us that the Lord gives different gifts to all, but all are to be used for the common good, because all of us are members of the same body of Christ. Not better or worse, not greater or lesser. The gifts are simply different. Now, there's a very fine line between admiration of another's gifts and envy or jealousy of them. It was Mark Twain who rightly said, "Comparison is the denial of joy." And another who said, "Envy shoots at others and wounds itself." So perhaps there is a someone in your life against whom you always find yourself comparing yourself, which either makes you feel puffed up with pride, or leaves you feeling as though you can never measure up. Someone about whom you find yourself asking, well, Lord, what about him or what about her? That's a heavy burden to bear. And so we would do well to listen to and heed the words that Jesus gives to Peter. If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. Which is shorthand for mind your own business. If you think about it, you don't need to worry or mind yourself with what the Lord is doing with that other person. You need only concern yourself with what the Lord is intending with you. And most assuredly, you don't know what burdens that other person is carrying. Now, admittedly, competitive comparisons can serve to encourage us and inspire us, but they can also disrupt and deceive and destroy us. And so when it comes to comparing ourselves with one another, mind your own business. Concentrate on your own calling. Put to good use the gifts that God has given you. It is so interesting to me that this story is placed right after Peter has just been reconciled and restored in his relationship with the Lord. We would think that that conversation would have settled and satisfied him. But the very next thing we find him doing is looking over his shoulder and seeing John there. To which Jesus says, Peter, don't look at him. Look at me. The life of discipleship is not about competition. Look here. Keep your eyes on me. Friends, these are the very last words that we hear Jesus saying to Peter. Don't worry about him or her or him or them. Just follow me. A word perhaps intended for us as well today. And then there's another aspect of this story to which we need to pay attention as well. As I mentioned before, in the early church, the rumor had started that John was not going to die until Jesus returned. That rumor was taken from this conversation that they had on the beach. And it was speaking of John when Jesus says, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Now, apparently, by this time of the writing of the gospel, John has actually died. And so the early church, these believers are saying, whoa, what's going on? I mean, where is Jesus? Why hasn't he returned yet? And so the editors of John's gospel insert this story as a corrective in an attempt to dispel this rumor. Now, Jesus didn't really say that, or if he did say it, you're interpreting it in a different way than he intended it to be heard. But it raises another issue which faced the church then and now. I'm not talking about envy or competition any longer, but speculation and rumors and gossip. Speculation as to when Jesus would return, which he told us repeatedly is a fool's errand. No one knows when the Lord will return. Jesus himself, but the Father only, which should save us from any fruitless calculations and redirect us to our primary purpose, that being witness to his lordship and glory. It also, though, is a safeguard to us from mindless gossip, which inevitably belittles the other, putting them down, or rumors, which often does just the opposite, lifting up someone else, making of them something more than they are, making of them something we could never attain for ourselves. Oh, we know the damage of gossip. But the other end of the spectrum, rumors can be equally damaging. Many speak of the Facebook effect. Now, I'm not a big Facebook user, but people tend to post a false image of themselves on social media. They only show pictures of themselves when they're really having a great time, when they're at fancy restaurants, when they're visiting exotic places, leaving the rest of us looking at our boring routines and belittling ourselves, thinking, I can't be like that. And this is kind of what's happening with John. And in a sense, it can happen when we view any of the disciples or any of what we might call the heroes of our faith. We can too easily put them up on a pedestal, saying to ourselves, you know, I could never live up to something like that. And that's one of the reasons why I so love and appreciate the honesty of Scripture. If you look, every one of our heroes and heroines in Scripture are as flawed and broken as any one of us. There's only one perfect hero in Scripture, and it is him, and him alone we are called to follow. So, rumor had it that John was not going to die until Jesus returned, making of him something more than a mere mortal. He was a first century spiritual rock star, which is something more than envy or competition, but idolatry. And what is the antidote to idolatry? The same instruction was being given to the early church about John as was given to Peter. Don't you bother about him. Keep your eye on me. John did his part. His words are faithful and true, but now he has died, as will every one of your heroes in the faith, anyone that you hold with high esteem. So remember them, give thanks for them, but follow me. So this is the way John's gospel ends, twice, with this note of caution and encouragement. Those who closed the book the second time write these words, but there are also many other things that Jesus did, and if every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Which sounds very much like the way chapter 20 ended. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him may have life in his name. Which also sounds very much like the way this gospel began, all the way back in chapter 1, where we read, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Friends, Jesus came so that we might know God in a way that is new, a way that is utterly inconceivable. He came to us in flesh, in a way that we could see and know and touch and understand the Word, this life-giving, life-preserving, life-redeeming power of God became flesh and lived among us. And then, through the pen of John and others like him, and the ongoing witness of the Holy Spirit, the Word became words. Words that we can read and touch and reflect on and pray over, all to the end, that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him may have life in his name. It is not coincidental that the very first words Jesus said to his disciples back then are the very last words he says to his disciples then and now. Don't you worry about him or her or them or what or when or how or what if or anything else that might distract you or dissuade you. All you need do is follow me. To the honor of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we are so easily distracted by that which goes on around us, by that which goes in within us. And yet you give us a very simple instruction. Take your eyes off of them. Keep your eyes focused on me. Follow me. And in that is the promise of new life, abundant life, eternal life. And for this we give you thanks and great praise. Lord, hear our prayer this day and give us the courage and faith to follow where you lead us. This through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.